the Word of God that they turn away from it. What's interesting in this chapter to me is the fact that the Bible says that it wasn't those that necessarily did not believe what the Lord had been teaching or had not walked with the Lord, that they didn't know anything about the Lord. But verse number 66 says that many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Could you imagine how discouraging that would have been? To have been on that occasion and the Lord had these disciples, the word disciple just simply means someone who is a learner of someone else or following someone. They were a learner of Christ and were following Christ. They heard His teaching, and the Bible says that from that time many turned and they walked back or they went back and didn't walk with the Lord anymore. How discouraging. You know, the same can be said today, can't it? In every age of time, from the beginning all the way through today, there have been times when individuals walked with God, they obeyed the Lord, they obeyed the teachings that God set forth, but then they turned back. They turned away from that which they used to obey. I want us to think for a little while this morning about reasons why individuals turn back. Why is it that many times the case is that people will obey the gospel and they're just full of zeal, they're full of ambition, they're ready to do what God would have them to do, and then they turn back into the ways of the world. They turn back and they don't follow the Lord anymore. Do you know of times when that's happened? Many times individuals will obey. I can think about over the course of my life people who obeyed the gospel and then they fell away. And it seemed like that, as I said, as they were on fire for the Lord for an amount of time, they were doing really good. It seemed like they were growing and then all of a sudden, where did they go? Can you think of times when that's happened? Maybe that's happened in your life at some point. That you obeyed the Lord. You were full of zeal, ready to do what God would have you to be doing. You were growing. But then something happened that caused you to turn back and no longer walk with the Lord. Why is it that that happens? You know, if we go all the way back to the Book of Genesis, I encourage you to turn there and follow along with me as we look at some of these reasons. We see that individuals were doing what God obviously wanted them to do. Many times we've talked, it seems like, in recent weeks about Adam and Eve. God created all things, placed man in that garden. He gave them that command, a command that they fully understood. But then it wasn't long before they disobeyed. I don't know how long they were in the garden. Could have been a really long time. Doesn't seem like. Because they were given that command to have children, right? And yet they sinned and were cast forth from the garden before they did that. So I don't know how long they were there. Probably every indication is that they wasn't there for a very long time. But they failed. They sinned. And we can look back at that and we can clearly see why they chose to disobey. The Bible says that Eve looked at that fruit that they were forbidden to partake of, and she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes and one to be desired to make one wise and pleasant for food, and so she partook of it. She failed when she did that. She violated what God said to not do. Being tempted to do that. She gave in to her temptation. Genesis chapter 6 we read about the wickedness of man. God said He was going to destroy the world with a flood, and indeed He did that very thing. If you go over to the book of, or still in Genesis, but over to chapter 11, notice what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. We can see throughout the entire Old Testament that individuals who walked with God, did what God would have them to do, failed. And we're just asking the question this morning, why do people do that? The children of Israel did that under the Mosaic Law. There was times when they obeyed God. The Lord was on their side. And times when they disobeyed. It's true under the Christian age. When you look into the book of Acts, chapter 20, and we find that Paul is writing to the Ephesians, or talking to the Ephesian elders, and he gives them that warning that individuals were going to fall from that which is right. Turn over there with me, if you will, to Acts, the 20th chapter. And notice, if you will, verse number 28 beginning. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Why is it that individuals, just like we read about in John chapter 6 and verse number 66, will turn away from the Lord and no longer walk with Him? Why does that happen today? There's a host of reasons that an individual could give as to why people fall. Again, I stated earlier that it may be that there's been times in your life that you obeyed, but then you fell away. Thanks be to God, He was merciful to us that we had an opportunity to be restored and be in a right relationship once again with God. You know, this book describes individuals who obey and then they fall away. Now, these are not my words. This is what the Bible says concerning our condition before God. If we obey and then we turn from it. Now, there's not a doubt in my mind that most people want to be pleasing to God, don't they? Most individuals want to say, yes, I want to be pleasing to God. I want to do what's right in the sight of God. Sometimes there's a disconnect between what we profess or we say, this is my desire, and then actually what we're doing. I want you to notice in John chapter 15. Most are familiar with John chapter 15 as the Lord is talking about the vine and the branches. And many times the religious world wants to say, well, the Lord is the vine and the denominations are the branches, but that won't fit. The Bible says if a man abide in me, not if a religion or if a denomination abides in me, but if a man abides in me. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, the reality is that we can obey the gospel and not bring forth fruit, can't we? And that's what the Lord's putting forth here. And He's saying, if that be the condition, then what's the result? Notice verse 3. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Do we see the dangers of not abiding in the vine? We'll just be considered to be barren branches. We don't want to be that way, do we? We want to do what's right in the sight of God. But here's another one. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. This is an example that I know you're very familiar with, but here was a group of people who really thought that what they were doing was right. They no doubt had obeyed. They were a group of the Lord's people, but they weren't faithful. By the way, can the same be true of us today? That we can be a group of the Lord's people, but then not do what the Lord would have us to be doing? Sure, that can be said of us today. If the case would be that we were to receive a letter from the Lord, which we understand is God's complete revelation to man, don't miss the point. But if we were receiving a letter, as these individuals, these congregations received a letter, what would it say about us? Well, the Bible says here in verse number 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." We ought to underscore that. The fact that God knows our works. He knows what we're engaged in at Mill Street. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. "I know thy works." It doesn't go unnoticed with the Lord. By the way, that's good and bad. God knows the good things we're doing, and He also knows the bad things that we're doing. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now notice what they thought. Verse number 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The way they saw themselves is not the way that God was seeing them, is it? They thought that they were rich. They thought that they were on the right road. But He says, listen, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and you don't even know it. They were blind toward their own condition. That would describe us. If we obey, and then we fail to do what God would have us to be doing, we'll be lukewarm. I don't want to be that way, do you? I don't think anybody would admit that that's what they want to be described as. But we can also be described as dead while living. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. We're not going to read all these, but I'll give you the references. You can look at them. Dead while living. 1 Timothy 5 verse 6. Perishing. Acts 8 and verse number 20. Forsaking the right way. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 15. And worse than at the first, according to 2 Peter 2, 20 and through 22. Remember that? It happened to them. It's true. The proverb, the dog had turned to its own vomit. The sow that was washed turned again to her wallowing in the mire. What a bad condition. How horrible that is, that we would be described by inspiration as that. How does God describe you? How does God describe me? But again, what are some reasons why individuals turn back and they walk no longer with the Lord? The first one I want us to think about is that many stumble at the Lord's Word. Many people don't believe what the Bible teaches. Many people are offended at what God's Word says. I was watching a program it was early this morning that was talking about why this one particular religion was trying to be inclusive of all individuals regardless of their lifestyle. I want you to think about that. Yes, everybody has a soul. Yes, God wants all people to be saved, but not everybody's going to obey the teaching of the Bible. What are we to do? Are we to say, well, since that goes against or against the grain of what individuals are doing, we need to adjust what this book says? We need to try to be inclusive of everybody so they can come to the Lord just the way that they are and remain the way that they are. Many people turn back from listening to the words of the Lord because they stumble or are offended at what the Lord teaches. And a lot of these sayings that the Lord said is very hard, are they not? You think about the times that the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees were very upset with the Lord. Well, was it because the Lord didn't teach the truth? He taught them the truth, and that's why they were upset. It went against what they were believing. How are we when someone proclaims the truth to us? Do we accept it? Ray brought out this morning the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 when Paul was writing to those of Thessalonica, and he stated to them that they received the word not as it was words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. So we understand that many people just are not going to obey. John chapter 6 is a good chapter that talks about that. Many people just simply, again, do not believe what the Lord states. John chapter 8, verses 45 and 46. Remember that it's in John chapter 8 that the Lord made that statement in verse number 24 when He said, "But except you believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins." But notice what the Lord said. John chapter 8, verses 45 and 46. "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Many times the case is that people don't want to come to the Lord today just simply because they do not believe the truth. And sometimes the case is that people will obey the gospel, they'll have their sins forgiven, they'll walk with the Lord for a while, but then they stumble and they fall away because perhaps they read something that they just can't swallow that. They refuse to believe that that's the way it is. Not everything that we read in the Bible is always easy to accept, but it's true nonetheless. And we don't want to be in a position where we are willing to accept parts of what the Bible teaches, but then other parts we will not accept. Others just simply will not obey. And so they walk not with the Lord. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Sometimes individuals will walk with the Lord until it gets difficult, and then they'll fall away. We have examples of that in the Bible. Again, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. You think about the condition of people today when you read this passage, Luke chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Why would individuals do that? Why would somebody believe in the Lord and then not be willing to confess Him? Well, He says, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, but notice verse number 43. "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Isn't that sad? Now, here's somebody that was present on that occasion. They heard the words of the Lord. They believed the words of the Lord, but they weren't confessing. It wasn't that they did not confess it because they didn't believe it, because the text says that they did believe it. But they were afraid of what others might think, say, or do to them, lest they should be kicked out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Perhaps there's individuals, no doubt, that are in that same category. That they know the truth, they believe the truth, inside they are convinced that of what the Bible teaches, what the truth is. But because they love the praise of men more than loving God, they fail to do it. Maybe that they're afraid of what their family thinks about it or will say about it, or a co-worker, whatever it may be, a spouse. No doubt that's one of the reasons that many turn back from following the Lord. But here's another reason I want to give you. Many may turn back from following the Lord because they didn't count the cost. God expects that we count the cost. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, the Bible talks about taking up our cross and bearing, that Jesus must come before all. Matthew 6 and verse 33 talks about that. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 makes a similar statement about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Doing what God would have us to do first and foremost. Luke 12 or 14 and verse number 27. Again, the statement is made. But here's something that is very sad as well. In Luke chapter 9, I invite you to turn over there and notice the statement that is made. Luke chapter 9, you remember that the Lord is bidding these individuals to follow Him, and one says, verse number 61, Lord, I'll follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home and at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When we fail to count the cost, we fail to think about what is going to be involved in walking with God, it can cause many to turn back. Now, understand that we grow, and maybe we're not going to know everything that's involved in being a Christian before we become a Christian. We grow in that. We grow in our knowledge of what the Scriptures teach and what's involved in that. But we need to think about what it means to be faithful to God. What's involved in that? And we tell people all the Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death and I'll give thee a crown of life. Well, yeah, we understand we have to be faithful, but many people don't know what it means to be faithful, do they? We need to study and read our Bible every day. Well, we understand that. Everybody understands we need to read and study the Bible. But how do we study the Bible? We grow in those things. What does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord? What's involved in that? What about the relationship that I now have with God that I didn't have before and the responsibilities that come along with that? We need to count the cost. Again, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, the Lord said, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Have you ever been in a position where in your life where you obeyed the teaching of the Lord, you became a Christian, but then you began to think about former days? Have you done that before? You start thinking about the way things was before I obeyed the gospel. You start thinking about, well, perhaps things were better. Perhaps it was a lot better before I obeyed the gospel. It seemed like I had it better before. Don't let the devil put that seed in your mind. Don't try to set out to serve God and then turn back and long for the ways of the world. The devil's going to work overtime. And he's going to try to have you convinced that you had it a lot better before you became a Christian. Remember that statement concerning Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We may have done things that appealed to the flesh before. That may have made us feel really good, but it's just for a little time, and then life is over, and then what? We'll stand before Christ on that great judgment day and give an account of all those things. When we obey the gospel and we arise to walk in newness of life, we need to grow and we need to purpose that every day we're going to walk with God. We may sin from time to time. We may fall flat on our face. That may very well happen. Because of one reason or another. But when it does, we need to recognize that. Pick ourselves up and keep on going. Not allow the devil to keep us down. But there's another reason I want us to think about, and that is the fact that the faith of some is shallow. We may have shallow faith. It may not be very deep. It may not be grounded the way that we need to be. Remember that parable that we read about in Matthew, the 13th chapter? Matthew chapter 13 is a chapter that is filled with parables. These are teachings that the Lord gave that He tried to relate things that people could understand to try to teach them. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, some call it. But notice, if you will, verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to his ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I want you to think about what he's saying. And they didn't always understand everything that the Lord taught. But here he's teaching them about this sower that went forth to sow, and some of the seeds fell by the wayside. The Lord later on in this chapter, he begins to expound to them this parable. He begins to teach them about the parable. And he says in verse 19, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now who is that again? They hear the word of the kingdom, but they don't understand it. And the devil comes along and he snatches it out of the heart. Doesn't even have a chance to grow, to germinate. How often is the case that we try to plant that seed, but the seed is cast forth, and how quickly the devil comes and takes it away before it has time to even germinate, to grow and bring forth fruit? I study with people. I often tell them, don't let the devil come and snatch that away from you that you know now. You know the truth. It's been planted there. You hang on to it and don't let the devil take it away from you. But then he goes on to say, But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he's offended. Well, he heard it. He believed it, he received it, but then he had no root. Didn't have any way to stay and to be steadfast. By the way, when we read these examples here in this parable, which one describes us? Will we be considered somebody that the seed was sown upon stony ground, or upon the rocks, rather, among the thorns? By the wayside, or the good ground, the good soil that brought forth fruit. Good hearts of men and women that hear the word. We looked in the Bible class this morning that faith is essential. We understand that, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. But it has to be developed. We have to study and grow. And how often should we be doing that? Every day. Every day of our life, we should be seeking to learn and to grow and to read and to meditate and to study. Every single day of our life. I know that we get busy, but let's not get too busy that we put God's Word out of our daily schedule. But there's another reason I want you to think about why some fall away. They turn away and no longer walk with the Lord. That's because they are overcome by the world. Suppose you know someone who just obeyed the gospel. They recently put the Lord on in baptism. They rose to walk in newness of life, and here they go. They're so happy that they're a child of God, ready to do what God would have them to be doing. How difficult do you think it is for them to stay steadfast? How many times the Bible likens them to a baby? We put the Lord on baptism, now we're like a baby, a newborn baby. Had to be fed with the sincere milk of the Word. That's not only to them, but applies to new Christians. Not able to take the meat yet, the meat of the Word. They need to be encouraged, don't they? But then again, it goes back to what we do sometimes. We have someone to obey the gospel, and then we give them a little pew Bible, and we say, if you have any questions about anything in there, you'd be sure to call us. Isn't that sad? One of the things that the Lord did in commanded in Matthew chapter 28, if you look at that passage, was He told them to go, teach, baptize them, and then do what? Continue to teach them. That's what the Lord said to do. Everybody needs to be taught. Everybody needs to be encouraged. If we don't, we're going to be overtaken in the ways of the world. If we're not on guard about those things, Matthew chapter 13 again, the Lord talks about the cares of the world. Chokes the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse number 10, He talks about riches and about the love of money. Verse number 17, He talks about those that be rich. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with having things in and of themselves. But don't allow those things to be a snare to us. In James chapter 5, notice if you will what the Bible says in that passage. James chapter 5 and verse number 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Be careful about living in pleasures on the earth. Now, doubt my mind, many fall away today because they're given over to things in the world. They're overcome by the world. A love of worldly things. 1 John chapter 2 talks about that. But there's another reason why individuals fall away from serving the Lord. And that's because they're deceived by men. Now that can happen to anybody. That can happen to somebody that has never obeyed the gospel, of course. And it can happen to somebody who has obeyed the gospel to be deceived by what somebody teaches them. You may run across all kinds of tracts and books that people may give you. I know that I've been given tracts and books by individuals. They mean to do well as far as, you know, here's a tract, I want to share this with you. But then you begin to read it, and it's filled with things that are not scriptural. Has that ever happened to you? You can't rely on everything that comes across your desk, as the saying is. You need to read it and weigh it with the Word of God so that you're not deceived by things. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 talks about that. Acts 17 and verse 11, he talks about having a ready mind to receive the things that you hear and search it daily with the Scriptures. Jesus warned about that in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Several times the Lord said, let no man deceive you. Be not deceived, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. The importance of not being deceived. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 beginning, Paul talks to Timothy about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about the fact that many were going to turn away their ears from hearing the truth. Remember Paul writing to Timothy? We can't believe everything that we hear. That's just the reality of it. Just because some man would stand before us and open up his Bible and begin to say things doesn't mean that what he's saying is the truth. I remember a good friend of mine who's an elder of a congregation a couple hours from here. He talked about his mother. His mother's not a Christian, and he said, Donnie, I'm telling you, she thinks that just because a man stands before in front of her and opens up his Bible, that everything that he's about to say is the truth. And she'll sit and listen to everything he says. He's talking, saying how sad it was that his mother's in that condition. But what about discouragement? Here's another reason why people fall away, because of discouragement. That happens many times to us that we, again, are full of zeal, but then we began to get discouraged in our walk with the Lord. And there's many reasons why we get discouraged. And we understand that Peter wrote in his writing, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, that the devil is roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We understand that we get discouraged because of people that oppose us. Sometimes we think that it's to no avail when it is. It's not in vain. We looked at that in the Bible class this morning. But Galatians chapter 6, there's a statement that is made there when Paul is writing to the Christians at Galatia. And he's encouraging them to do good and to do what is right. And he says in verse number 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Have you been discouraged? I've talked to people that they say, Don, I'm just discouraged. I know what the truth is. I believe what the Bible says, but I'm just discouraged. And that happens. It happens because sometimes we feel like there's just absolutely no good result of what we're doing. But sometimes we're not always going to see the good of what we're doing. I've had individuals try to get me to think that just because you hear no response from a radio or TV program that it's to no avail. It's just really not. At least you can't mark a lot of the things that you do because of what somebody's telling you. Sometimes you may never hear the result of what you do, but you take the opportunities to do it. I will never forget, not long ago, I was sitting upstairs. I was reading, preparing probably for a sermon. It could have been a radio program, whatever it may have been. And a fellow called. Never met the man before. And he said, Donnie, I tracked you down. He said, but I live in Pineville, and I just want you to know that I used to listen to a radio program you had a long time ago in Perry County. How encouraging that was. Never knew the man, didn't know him. Him and his wife obeyed the gospel, and they attend to wherever it is that they're attending down there. But I encouraged him to be here. Never met the man. And then one Sunday they visited with us. How encouraging that is. You may never hear a response from what you're doing, but we can't get discouraged over that and think because somebody doesn't call us up and tell us, well, we might as well just drop doing that. I mean, think about what we would stop doing if that be the standard. We'd probably never have a radio program or a TV program, probably never have another gospel meeting because you can't hardly get a lot of people to come. All right. The fact is that we need to be encouraged of the fact that we know the truth and we want to share it with other people. That's our responsibility, is to put it into their hands so they can know what to do and obey the truth and go to heaven. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, the attitude sometimes people get discouraged because they think that God is unconcerned. God doesn't know. We already looked in Revelation chapter 3 about the fact that God said, Jesus, I know thy works. He said that about the other congregations that he wrote to. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In Psalm 34, in verse number 15, and write down and look at the fact that God is concerned about His people. His ears are open under their cry. His eyes are over the righteous. He is concerned about what we're doing. Let's not be discouraged about that. Just because people will not obey or people will not come to service when we try to get them to. Let's be encouraged about the fact that God has blessed us to know the truth and that we can teach it to others. What about you this morning? Perhaps you're listening to me this morning and the case is that you obeyed the gospel but you fell away. Turned your back on the Lord. Maybe that describes you, I don't know. But if it does, why not repent of those things, make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness and go on your way serving the Lord each and every day. Perhaps you're this morning, you've never obeyed. You do that by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, that God loved the world, sent His Son to the world, John 3:16. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Jesus said, except you repent, shall all likewise perish. Make that confession of your faith in Christ before others that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Lord commanded that, Matthew 10:32 and 33. And the eunuch is a good example of that in Acts 8:37. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, to rise to walk in newness of life. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. We bid you do that. Why not come right now as together we stand and sing?